This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the first team, Joe DeLeo and Ryan Roberts. Today we're going to be breaking down two offensive tackle prospects in the 2025 NFL draft, that being Will Campbell from LSU and Kelvin Banks from Texas. Ryan, I'm going to start us off here with Will Campbell, who already has been the de facto top guy in this class. I don't want to put him in the same category as Joe Alt. I think that we would be getting way ahead of ourselves if we were categorizing him as that good. But I think Will Campbell feels pretty safe right now as an easy pick for the top tackle in the class. Maybe he ends up like Olu Fashanu and still goes in the top 15 picks, but somebody overtakes him. There's plenty of time for that to happen. Any background on Campbell before we give positives and negatives on him as a prospect?
It's funny that we're doing him and Banks together because they actually have like very similar-ish backgrounds, I guess, right? So Will Campbell, he's out of Monroe, Louisiana. He went to Neville High School. He was rated as a five-star recruit by ESPN. They had him ranked as number 14 overall player, number two. Actually, they had ranked as an interior offensive lineman coming out of high school, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, really?
Yep, I'm looking at it right now. But otherwise, consensus four-star out of the other major recruiting platforms, number 40 overall in the On3 industry rankings. So he's ranked very high, and it wasn't a total surprise that he started game one for LSU at left tackle. And I know that him and Emory Jones and the offensive line in general, they were obviously very young in 2022, and it was a little bit of baptism by fire. I mean, I feel like most people remember, obviously, the game against Jared Verse to start out Will Campbell's career, but obviously, he's come a long way since then. Freshman All-American in 2022, first-team All-SEC selection in 2023 as a true sophomore. So he started every single football game he's played at LSU. Louisiana kid, you know, pretty basic background. You know, high, consensus four-star, five-star by one platform.
So Campbell, yeah, he's probably him and Banks are probably both not going to be super exciting to share their backgrounds because they're both just super highly recruited kids.
Can I say one more? And to say the starting early thing, I guess one just kind of quick note is that Will Campbell is pretty young for his age for the most part. Yep. So he's only 20 years old right now. He will not turn 21 until January 6th. So pretty much the entirety of the 2024 season for him is going to be as a 20-year-old prospect. So just kind of some more context there.
Talking positives for the 6'6", 320-pounder, pretty good flexibility. Overall, very light on his feet, good athlete. Wouldn't say he's elite athlete, but he's in the upper echelon in a lot of those categories where we're not really worrying about a lot of those things. Stance is weird. I don't think we need to go super, super crazy on that. I think it's something that there's a lot of debate. If you talk to offensive linemen, Sean in particular is one of these people who's brought up that certain guys earn this stance, and I'll be honest.
Well, that's stupid. That's dumb. What do you mean you earned this stance?
Offensive linemen are very different. Very different people. They think very differently than you and I do.
I started left tackle 3 years in high school. I don't get the whole.
Okay, you weren't 6'6", 320. You weren't a college offensive lineman.
I still don't get that whole conversation. I still don't get it. There is a stance that needs to be had, and we'll talk about that in a negative column, Joe, because we'll talk about that.
To finish the positives, though, he really shines in pass protection, kind of like Olu Fashanu, where the best part of his game is how good he is in pass pro. Does a really good job of mirroring, does a great job of keeping guys in front of him. But I think where he enters that special category is just the attention to detail and understanding of how to react to various hand moves by pass rushers. There's very few guys that I've watched in the few years I've been doing draft coverage that just know how to parry whatever move is sent his way. And he's not really losing a lot of momentum. He's not losing his balance. He's able to maintain a really strong, consistent base. That to me really puts him, I think, ahead of the curve of some of these other guys that we're going to discuss throughout this process throughout the summer that are much rawer than a guy like Will Campbell.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I like how you kind of opened up with Joe Alt, because I agree. He's not a Joe Alt-esque prospect right now and probably won't be just in general. But 6'6", 320, he just kind of lulls you to sleep a little bit. There's some of these offensive tackles that you not get bored. That's not the right word, but it's just so consistent. Yeah, it's like he's just so consistent and he just wins reps at the end of the day, right? There's going to be offensive tackles that we'll talk about throughout the rest of this these breakdowns that are a lot more exciting. The highs are higher. But the thing about guys like Joe Alt and like Will Campbell is they just don't give up a lot, right? Like they just win reps constantly. And I think that he does that. And I think you said it perfectly, Joe. When you're talking offensive line play, yes, upper body and lower body working together are important, but there is times in reps where we talk about independent hand usage, where your hands have to be directly out of sync, basically, or independent, quote unquote, from the rest of your body, because they have that hand fight. They have to be able to reset their hands in proper positioning and be able to win those reps that way, right? Because your defensive lineman's allowed to hit hands away, right? You're allowed to hand fight as well. And yeah. I think that Will Campbell really excels in that department, man. Like his hands are just so constant and consistent and relentless, and he fights for positioning throughout reps, which I think is fantastic. And he's got a really strong lower half. Like when he digs his heels in, gets his hips down, which we'll talk about that in the negative side of things, he just doesn't move, man. Like he's a very very strong, and I would say just kind of I think he's a physically mature kid. Like he's just kind of had this body and this physicality and this power profile pretty naturally to him, right? So when he digs in, I think it's really solid. I think that he's a really easy mover, a really easy guy to play connected to guys and be able to redirect in space. So I think there's just a consistent approach. And in the run game, it might not be consistently flashy, but the run game spots, you'll see times where you're just like, he's dominant at times, man. Like he does have a lot of pop in his hands, a lot of lower body finish. There is stuff to really work on, especially in zone blocking schemes where he's able to work to an upfield shoulder and be able to work up to the second level. I mean, there were several reps where he's pancaking dudes on the second level because he really does redirect pretty well in space and he knows how to finish plays. So I think the upside is there in the run game. The power profile is easy. It needs to be a little bit more consistent. There's no doubt about it, but the ability to win reps and be consistent on a snap to snap basis, that's kind of what makes a guy like Will Campbell pretty special.
So you brought up the power that he has in his lower body. That I think lines in with his weaknesses. You've kind of alluded to here. The high stance prevents him from playing low enough effectively in the run game. This is why
especially early in reps. Yeah.
This is why I keep bringing up Olu Fashanu, because Fashanu was like this, and this was why he maybe dropped out a little bit throughout the process, because he didn't improve as a run blocker, but they were not as they're weak at run blocking for different reasons. Now he can be really physically dominant. As you mentioned there, he's got the juice, he's got the upper body strength and the ability to latch on and really finish guys, but when he gets too high, there's reps where he's just shoving guys and it's not really a consistent, strong, technically sound rep where he's able to just get his chest and his helmet in somebody's chest and drive them out and move them out of the lane that he's trying to redirect them into. So needs to improve the pad level, more consistency there. He's got the traits to be good at it. He's got the flexibility to be good at it. He just plays so high, and that's why I keep bringing up the stance, because the height of his pads, it could be lower, and if you're coming and firing out lower, it's going to improve that. And I know that offensive linemen, they think much differently, and some are going to have a different correction to this point that I'm bringing up, but that's just the way that I see it. I think that if he played lower and started lower, he would be much more effective as a run blocker.
Here's the thing, and I think that we can use this negative in passing game as well, because here's the thing. right now where Will Campbell is in the SEC conference, which I understand is the best conference in college football and the most NFL talent. I get that. There was no argument that will ever be made against that for me personally, at least not right now. Despite that, Joe, he wins a whole lot of reps against a lot of strong grown men, right? But I do think that we need to understand that when you make that push to the next level, guys, especially on the edge, are going to get longer, more powerful, and more explosive. And while it might not be a problem for Will Campbell right now, we're talking projecting to the next level, right? We're talking about how this could evolve and be a strength, or there could be a potential weakness that's hidden right now because he is just so good at the level that he's currently on. And I'll be very honest, and this is both in the run and pass game, I'm terrified of the hip sync. I'm terrified of it. I'm terrified of the stance, because there's going to be some guys that are going to be power generators. Let's talk about Jared Verse, the game that he struggled the most. And I understand that was his first game in college and blah, blah, blah. But there was also a couple reps against Florida State last year that may have not ended up in sacks for Jared Verse, but they were pressures for Jared Verse. You know why? Because that kid is a power-based NFL rusher. Well,
good,
and I think
good, good example is he's going to have to face off with Nick Scowerton, who I just watched a second ago. He's going to have to go against Nick Scowerton, who a lot of reps, sometimes he just gets pissed off and he says, I'm going to run through an MF'er's face. I'm going to run through his chest. And if he gets out low, man, like if Will Campbell is not starting out those reps lower, those are ones that he's going to get beat, especially if later on in the game he starts pulling out that spin move that he loves so much. Right. That's how you get caught, because you're already caught off guard from the beginning because you don't know how to get, or you're effectively not getting low enough to counter a guy who's that powerful in their lower half.
He redirects pretty crazily well for a guy that plays as high as he does, right? Like, he redirects well. It's very surprising. But I do think that the ability to counteract power is going to be an issue for him at times in the NFL if he does not improve the hip sync and the ability to play lower in his stance, because guys are going to be able to get into his chest at times. And when a guy is going to be able to get into low into his chest, I just don't think that he's going to be able to anchor at the point of attack and pass protection. And I don't think he's going to be able to transition his hips into the run game enough at times to displace gaps and to create movement at the point of attack. I think that's going to be an issue for him. And that's what's holding him back for me, Joe. I mean, if we're talking about projection, right, which I know that we kind of lead into here, I have him with a very early, in a vacuum, second round pick, very early. Now, he's an offensive tackle, so offensive tackles are going to get drafted higher than what raw grades are usually, right? So I am fully aware, and I'm fully okay with him being mocked in the first rounds. And I'm fully okay with him even being mocked in the top 20, because I can see that trajectory, right? I can see him getting there. But if you're asking me today, am I worried about the ability to play lower and to play with a better stance and to play with more consistent bend through your hips? I am. I'm very concerned about that. He's a very talented player. He's got all the requisite foot quickness and hand play you would want out of a plus starting offensive tackle in the next level. But the hip bend, the flexibility in his lower half specifically, that needs to be stuff that I need answered this upcoming season. So there's a lot to play for Will Campbell, because I don't even need him to play with a better stance all the time. I need him to play with better hip sync consistently. If he then he's a bona fide first rounder. But that is the question that still needs to be answered today.
With that in mind, I have a mid first round on him. I think that he's a very good prospect. The issues, I think, are super correctable. Like, it's not like he's got a trade issue. It's not like he's not long enough. It's not like he's not quick enough. It's just eventually needs enough exposure to playing lower, like you're talking about. And sometimes for these guys, it's getting beat by somebody who knows how to expose those weaknesses. So maybe that's what comes into play, is that Nick Scowerton game could be a come to Jesus moment for him, and he ends up working on it. But this is still a very good prospect. And I
agree.
You know, mid first rounder is a great placement for a guy like this in summer scouting.
Yeah. And I have no problem with the mid first, because again, I could see the trajectory there. I am just trying to be a little bit more tentative with my upside aspect of summer scouting. And I understand, I fully, like, when I'm in on a guy, I'm in, right? Like, I dive head first. There's no doubt about it. I see all the trajectory here. I just need, because There are some things, Joe, that I look at and say, that's correctable and it's easily correctable and I can have a quick fix and we can be good and the trajectory can move forward quickly. Playing with consistent bend isn't always something that is easily fixable. I do think it can be fixed for Will because I don't think he's an overly unflexible person. Is that a word? Unflexible? It doesn't sound like a word.
Sure.
Non-flexible person. I think that he can do it. It's just, I hope that he's been, honestly, this is going to sound silly, but I hope he's been hitting the yoga all offseason. I hope he's been working on the flexibility throughout the offseason because if he is, he has a chance to be the first offensive tackle off the board. I'm not willing to say today that he is the consensus first offensive tackle off the board. I do think there's a couple guys that are going to be able to challenge that. He has the opportunity to do that, but those improvements will help him get there.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talk about a guy that's a complete opposite of Will Campbell from everything that we just described. Kelvin Banks from Texas, 6'4", 324 pounds. Dude can move, man. And he's got a very thick lower half. We're going to talk a little bit about how he does shine in the run game. Some could argue that maybe he is better off playing guard in the NFL. Could totally see that. Could maybe shine a little bit better as a right tackle because he's a really good run blocker. Before we get into the strengths, weaknesses aspect, what notes did you have on him background-wise?
Well, I said that Will Campbell and him kind of have very similar backgrounds is because they're both in-state guys that went to the premier program in their state. So he's a Humble, Texas. That's the hometown. He went to Summer Creek 2022 class, same as Will Campbell. He was considered as a recruit on the On3 industry ranking as a 5-star, the number 22 overall player, and the number 2 off. Actually, wait, is that wrong? Oh, yeah, here it is. Sorry. Number 22 overall player, number 2 player, 2 offensive tackle in the 2022 class. He was also ranked as a 5-star by both On3 and 247 Sports. On3, their regular ranking, not industry ranking. He was rated as the number 6 overall player, the number 1 offensive tackle in his class, and the number 1 player in the state of Texas. So he was able to obviously transition that into a very successful season so far, career so far, Joe. He was a freshman All-American, just like Will Campbell. He was also a first-team All-Conference this past year, just like Will Campbell. And so it's a pretty traditional background, man. He started every single game for the Longhorns. And also, as a freshman in 2022, he went through his growing pains, as did the entire Texas offensive line that was super young in 2022. They got beat up a little bit, but I think that it was better for them, came out on the other side. And obviously, we're talking about a kid that is now projected by a lot of people to be a first-round selection in the 2025 NFL draft, potentially. And physical culture and sports major, whatever the heck that is, right? So, yeah, you're old.
That's a football degree. Physical.
Yes.
Football degree right there. Kelvin Banks, though, has the one thing that I love with offensive linemen, a reason why I love J.C. Latham. He's got a big ass. He's got a really, really big ass, and that shows up in the run game. He's got very quick feet. I think for his size, for being 330 pounds, I think he can get upfield in a hurry. I think he gets to the second level very well. I love the angles and the body placement that he plays with in the run game. And he gets really good leg churn. He's able to just like really drive guys out, especially when he's leading in like some zone plays. Just all the aspects of the run game for me really, really shines. In pass protection, he is fluid mover. But there's certainly a lot that needs to get worked on. We'll get to the weaknesses aspect there, but just generally shines as a good athlete playing that tackle spot for Texas in pass protection. But I think that just the biggest, best way to describe Banks, good athlete, is a bit raw and is improving as time has gone on.
The biggest positive and the biggest negative to Kelvin Banks. You ready, Joe? Because we'll get into the negatives a lot more specifically here. But both biggest positive and negative is that he relies on his overall physical talents all the time. And that is a positive because My guy has good foot quickness for NFL standards. My guy redirects well. My guy is physically dense and very strong. My comparison for him, Laremy Tunsil. That's who he reminds me of. Now, Laremy, his last year at Ole Miss was fantastic. Like, he had really jumped. He was a really good player for Ole Miss his first 2 years, but his last year at Ole Miss, he became a top 10 potential NFL draft prospect, if not for the gas mask, right? Like, he would have been that type of player. Kelvin Banks has that type of upside to him as well. I think that he could take a giant jump as a junior because he has everything that you need. He's not the tallest guy of all time, but I think that his arm length is going to be plus for NFL standards when he gets to the measurement side of things. I think he plays with good length as well. He really is aggressive to be able to gain extension both in the run and pass game. He really works to kind of get to that point. My favorite thing about him, just talking specifically about the run game, and I'll get into the pass game a little bit. Run game, Joe, him on the backside of zone runs, whether it's outside or inside zone, boy, he can really, one, work laterally, two, work to gain proper body positioning. It's a skill, man. Working on the backside of zone is not the easiest thing of all time. You need to have a guy that, one, understands angles, and two, has the necessary athleticism and explosiveness to get himself into good body positioning. So you see that stuff. There's finishing ability. I saw in the Washington game, Braylon Trice ate Christian Jones's lunch, dude, took his lunch money. But every time that Braylon Trice was against Kelvin Banks, it was not a fun ball game. Yeah. It was not a fun ball game for him. I just highlighted one game on Twitter where one play on Twitter where he won off the point of attack in the run game and completely displaced Braylon Trice and just bullied him downfield a little bit, man. It was a big win in the run game. And then Jadon Blue, who will talk about this summer as well, the running back, he made a nice cut and created a big play. And I think that you see that consistently in the run game. He both has the power to great point of attack, to great movement at the point of attack, but also foot quickness and angles to be able to cut off from the backside, which is big time. In pass protection, he's just long and athletic, man. Like, that's what he is right now. He can gain extension in the pass game. We'll talk about this in the negatives, but he's a little bit slow to react sometimes to secondary rushes, so he gets himself into kind of recovery mode a lot. But one thing that he has is he is able to recover. He can move, and there was a play against Washington specifically where number 15, the defensive end, tried a spin move, and he's super kind of relaxed with them. But he does end up getting the outside track, but then Kelvin Banks is just able to wash him out and be able to work him past the track because he has good recovery quickness overall. So every requisite, foot quickness, explosiveness, power and length, he has all the tools in the toolbox. It's just next step about refining those tools.
Yeah, it's kind of weird talking about a guy like this who's played as many snaps as he has as being raw. Like, you would think that he'd be like Will Campbell, where everything would have come together. Now, he's still a true junior coming into this year, so the expectation for him to be a perfectly well-rounded prospect doesn't need to be there. What stood out to me weakness-wise, which kind of held me away from giving him a guaranteed first-round grade, just erratic hand placement. His technique is all over the place, sometimes in the run game, but especially in pass protection. He's able to continuously win because of the length, the power in his lower half, the athleticism that he plays the position with. But God, he does not really fire his hands in consistent locations. It is all over the place. So if he's able to work that into a more of a confined, natural flow of playing left tackle, he's going to be a really good player in this class that we're going to be talking about very highly as maybe even a potential top 15 pick. But for me right now, for those reasons, Ryan, I have him graded as a top 50 who I see early second, late first.
Okay. Well, Joe, I said this already. The weaknesses column is the same as the offense as the positives column. He relies on his athleticism and his length right now, which means in retroactively, he doesn't really have great technique right now. He doesn't. You know what the problem is? I wish he would have went to the SEC. I wish he would have went to the SEC where guys can challenge him more. In the Big 12, I just think he wins. He just wins reps because he's just better than everyone across from him for the most part. And I don't think that it helps him. I think that his technique is a little lazy because he hasn't had to hone technique too much. He's just been able to win off of being all the God-given ability he has. But he has a lot of it. And you know, if you followed me over the years, you know that I value that physical skill set at offensive tackle a lot, because that's what translates to the next level. It just does, man. I can teach a kid to use better hands, to be better with his feet consistently, but I can't teach length. I can't teach explosiveness. I can't teach bend. I can't teach the flexibility that a guy like Kelvin Banks has. I think he has all the requisites to being a plus starter in the NFL, which is why I gave him a early two, just like I gave Will, but I did give him a higher grade than Will. He edged out Will for me. I do prefer, as of today, Kelvin Banks over Will Campbell. That could very much change.
That is surprising. That is very surprising.
Kelvin's not really your type.
No, because Kelvin's more my type. I feel like he's a little more reminiscent of the J.C. Latham big ass maul you into the ground type of a guy.
No, J.C. Latham was fat. We're not talking about a fat guy here. We're just talking about a svelte young man that has a big butt. He's 324 pounds. He's 324. That's not 360 like your boy, but you know,
he was 330 at the combine. Watch him. Yeah. He's going to be the same exact way.
I think he was 340 something, but regardless, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Okay. I like Kelvin Banks. I think that he has all the requisite athleticism and upside to be in a first round NFL draft pick. Again, in a vacuum, high second round grade. Very high second round grade, about as high of a second round grade as you can get without being a borderline first. So he is a 1-2, like late one, early two conversation for me. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to bet on his athleticism and his traits a little bit more than Will. Now, I wish that we could just merge them together. Give Kelvin Banks Will Campbell's technique and patience. Give him all that, because then we're talking about a top 10 NFL draft prospect. But unfortunately,
generational,
but unfortunately he's not there right now, right? He's not there right now, but I think would be willing to bet on that athleticism, that overall upside. I think that he has the goods. It's just about harnessing the goods and turning them, actualizing them into physical talent.
Well, that's our full breakdown on Kelvin Banks, Will Campbell. Folks, thanks for tuning in at Joe DeLeon at Rise and Draft. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star review. We'll talk to you later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.